Oops, your culture's showing.
It is?
It is. Again, Dean. Again.
I keep trying to make sure that it's... I'm in control of this.
I know. But you know what? It's not necessarily you. You're not really the problem, I don't think.
I'm never the problem. Oh. Rarely the problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. No, that's not true. But okay. What I'm saying is that you are the person who has the knowledge that can help a lot of people to not have their culture showing in a bad way when they are in different countries and different cultures than their own.
Ah, but here's the thing. Doctor, heal thyself, right? It's very hard to know that your culture's showing until sometimes somebody has to tell you.
Absolutely. Sure. Sure. I mean, I don't think most people would have any idea that their own culture is there. I don't think most people know that they actually have a culture to show.
Yeah, that's it. We're not aware of the fact that we are cultural beings. We're human beings, we're physical beings, but we are also cultural beings, and who we are is created by our culture.
Well, that's all we have for today.
That's it. Goodbye.
Meanwhile, laughing in the background is Torin, who is our producer. Hi, Torin.
Hello.
And there you go. So there's a voice there behind it, too. I'm Tom Peterson, and I'm here with my co-host, Dean Foster.
So it's spring. There was a bird outside the window.
There was.
Who was trying to get in on the show.
That's
actually
right. We had to silence the bird. Yes. I mean, we may not have, actually. You may hear the bird.
It may come back. But I got an indication that it was spring just the other day.
Did you?
When I discovered a mosquito.
Ah.
A mosquito.
Was it chirping outside the window?
An expletive mosquito in my house.
In your house?
In my house.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, that's I guess that's a good sign we're being located in the northeastern United States. It's very seasonal, and we are sliding into a season that's supposed to be warm, but so far has been warm only in theory. Not so much in actual.
Well, obviously, the mosquitoes don't care. They're coming out. They're coming out, and they're at the ready. And it reminded me of one of the things that I find very, very difficult in life.
Okay.
Dealing with mosquitoes. More than dealing with certain cultures, dealing with mosquitoes.
Well, certain cultures. If we'll save which cultures that bother you more
since we started out talking about weighty things like God and Darwin and evolution and
yes
and procreation and all of that.
Right.
Why do we need mosquitoes?
Don't remember
if they
talking
were,
about
if they were
of
that, out of the mix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't we all be better off? I mean, what ecological niche do
well,
they?
Well, why did Noah take two mosquitoes? I mean, wasn't that like the ideal moment to go, you know what?
We don't need the
mosquitoes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've said this to myself so many times in my life. You know, the bats can find something else to eat. I'm sure of it.
Well, that would probably drive them batty. But nothing, huh? Nothing at all on
no,
that.
No.
No. Yeah, just going to let it lie there.
No.
Thanks.
Just kind of...
right at the knees again.
Right away.
Not even subtle. You're just taking me out. Okay.
Now, I remember talking about cultures and mosquitoes. I remember one time I was in Bombay.
Okay. So far, it's fascinating. Go ahead.
And it's a hot day. I'm eager to get back into the taxi cab. And I walked around. I was seeing some things and some sights. And in India, you know, your senses are assaulted until you kind of get used to the overload, the exponential overload of sound and light and people.
A lot of people, a lot of
mosquitoes.
Sound. Yes.
So I get to this taxi area. I open the door. And I get into the taxi, and I wake up the taxi driver. He's in the front seat. He's asleep.
Okay.
Okay. And, of course, since he's sleeping and just waiting, he rolled down all the windows. So all the windows were down.
Mm-hmm.
I get into the taxi. He wakes up, rolls the windows up, and turns on the air conditioning, which is a nice thing to do.
Yes, definitely.
And I'm suddenly aware of the fact that I am inside, trapped inside a container of thousands of mosquitoes
oh, no.
that had flown into the car while he was asleep.
Right.
Right. And I'm sitting in the back seat and I'm whacking at all of these mosquitoes that are flying all over the place.
Yep.
And as I'm whacking them against the ceiling, against the seat, against the window. And against the window, I look and I see splatters of blood.
Oh, no.
All over the window.
I can
all
feel
over
that
the window.
Coming. Yes. Oh.
And I'm going, oh, is that mine?
Oh, goodness. Oh, wait. Oh, that- wait. Hold on. Hold on. Clarification. Were the splatters already there?
No, I'm killing
you
the
mosquitoes. You are doing this because of the... And you're wondering if they took it from you or it's from a variety of other people
passengers.
In India. Right. Okay. I'm pretty just grossed out totally right now. Yep.
You know...
No. You were okay with that, huh?
The thing that concerned me the most was that the possibility... And it's... It's much less of a possibility today than it was when I was there. The possibility that these mosquitoes may have been malarial mosquitoes.
Well, sure. Right? Absolutely, sure. So I have a cultural question on this
yes.
for you. You're sitting in we're back in the back seat of the taxi. You're in the back seat in India, correct?
Yes.
In the
yes.
taxi. Because in some cultures you would not sit in the back seat of a taxi,
no,
right?
No. Now one time I was in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
And the mosquito problem was not nearly as critical there.
Right.
But I get a taxi and I open the back door. I'm from New York City, so I open the back door to get in behind the driver. I get in, close the door. Nothing happens. He turns around and he says, "What's the matter, mate? Too good to sit up front with me?"
Hmm.
Ah,
yeah.
Now that's a cultural thing.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Australia is... When you look at comparatively a lot of the cultures around the world, Australian culture is high as on egalitarianism. You know, everybody's equal. Nobody's better than anybody else. They even have this thing in Australia called the tall poppy syndrome, which means that nobody should grow taller than anybody else. If you're a poppy flower, and you're taller than the other poppies, you risk getting your head cut off.
Ah, okay. Right? So that's the concept.
Yeah. Every bloke is the same.
Okay.
And so who am I, just because I'm a passenger who's going to pay the driver, why am I taking it upon myself to make myself like some sort of, make him into a chauffeur?
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's a taxi driver and I'm sitting in the back seat. No, sit up front with me.
So if I go to Australia and I go to get a taxi, then I should assume that I should get into the front seat.
Well, this may have been this one guy who was particularly sensitive to this issue. I think you can get into a taxi in the back and probably not have somebody say something about it. But, you know, this is a very egalitarian culture.
Yeah.
You're going to want to talk to the guy. You're going to want to share things. You're going to want to really be a mate. That's
right,
what
right.
you got to be.
Okay.
Right.
So it sounds like it would be not a bad idea. And like in so many other things, you could open the door and say, okay, if I sit in the front or should I sit in the front or something like that? Should I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But talking about taxis in Japan.
Yeah.
All right. The taxi pulls over.
Mm-hmm.
You don't open the door.
Okay.
The door automatically opens for you.
Really?
And then you sit down in the back seat. And then the door automatically closes. Do not reach for the handle to close the door.
Would that be kind of the? That's definitely the wrong thing to do.
The wrong thing to do. The driver is controlling all of this.
Sure.
He's got a mechanism up there that opens and closes the door. And you're going to bust up his taxi if you try to close it yourself.
Right.
He's not going to like that.
I would say anyone who has been listening to our podcast and was in on podcast one, with the Japanese toilet should not be surprised at all right now.
Exactly. And there's lovely, the back seat has lovely antimacassars on the on the seat behind your neck.
Lovely what? What was that?
Antimacassars.
Okay.
Is that an old word that nobody knows what it means
anymore? No one
knows
that word.
It's like a lace.
I don't know that you should know that word, actually.
It's like a lace doily.
Okay.
I don't know why I know that.
It's anti. Is it A-N-T-I? Are we looking, or is it A-N-T-E?
No, antimacassar, antimacassar and Uncle Harry.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And she used to make syrup, didn't she?
Yes,
I think
she
at some point. Yeah. Oh, now I remember. All right.
No, it's A-N-T-I.
Okay.
To be against a macassar.
Oh, okay. Good.
Because
you don't want to be for
they were an ancient biblical tribe that nobody liked.
Nobody liked right. them. They were annoying. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of like a lace doily that sits on the top of a chair or a seat.
Uh-huh.
And the driver can change it so that you don't have to get in as the next passenger and put your head up against the same place on the seat where somebody else had their greasy hair.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how considerate. And the drivers in Tokyo all wear white gloves.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? Wow. Okay.
And they probably don't.
That's pretty much like New York, right?
Oh yeah, it's exactly that. They got the model right off of the cabbies down on Houston Street.
Right.
Sure. And it's Houston. It's not Houston.
It's not
Street.
Houston. It's
Houston,
Houston
Street. That's which is right. a cultural thing.
That it's very cultural because if you look at it, it's Houston. If you know that, that's how you spell Houston.
So I got into the taxi in Tokyo and I start to give the address to the taxi driver, and that's already a mistake.
Okay.
After I try to close the door, which is a mistake,
okay.
and try to wipe my brow with the antimacassar, which is a and
well, now you're out of control.
Out of control. But I just had this experience of mosquitoes in Mumbai, so
yeah,
you know,
so
I'm
is,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's malaria.
Right.
Who knows? So I'm trying to tell the taxi driver now where I need to go.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in Minato-ku, downtown Tokyo.
Yeah.
So he doesn't understand English.
Okay. That's helping.
Right. I don't understand Japanese
mm-hmm.
or very, very little. And so I can't even tell him where to go. Mistake number one, never get into a taxi in Japan without a card that has the address written out where you want to go.
Ah.
Because then you can just give that card to the driver.
Written out in a way that the Japanese driver is going to be able to read it.
If you're a visitor to Japan, you're probably staying at a hotel. So go to the concierge or the front desk and tell them, this is where I need to go. Please write this down in Japanese so I can show the driver.
Oh, I can imagine that would be a great help.
That's
yes.
what you need to do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but I didn't know this.
Right.
So I'm trying to communicate where I want to go. He's trying to communicate back to me that he hasn't a clue as to where I want to go.
Yep.
So we sit there in silence for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then I start to hear very softly from the front seat.
Yeah.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling Clementine. So he's singing.
Okay.
So I start singing with him.
Okay.
And then we went from that song, we went to an Elvis song. I don't really recall which one it was. We went to any number of...
Is he singing a little louder now?
Oh, we're singing now.
Now
we're,
it's
we're
karaoke.
We're just singing. We're,
right.
We're having our own car
yeah.
karaoke right
okay.
here, right now in Tokyo. We don't know where we're going.
Right.
He thinks he has an idea where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a great time because he's trying to connect with me singing
right.
English songs,
yeah.
starting out with some old folk song from Arkansas. I mean, I don't know. Where does that song
I have
from?
No idea.
Clementine. Was it about the Gold Rush, I think?
You're lost and gone forever, dreadful sorrow, Clementine.
Right.
Right? Something
right.
like that.
Right.
I have no idea. It's
yeah.
a depressing song.
And then he starts singing Heartbreak Hotel.
It's another depressing song.
Every American song. I thought this was so sweet. What a sweet guy. You know, he was
yeah.
trying to connect with me.
Sure.
And I think we eventually got to where we wanted to go.
Okay.
But it was like the nicest taxi ride I ever had.
Right.
He got out of the car at the end. I got out of the car at the end. We embraced each other. We sang a few songs, something else, a few words, something else, some other song.
Okay.
I had the greatest time. That, as opposed to feeling like I was becoming malarially infected in Mumbai.
Well, I as lovely as that scene was of you and the Japanese cab driver on the sidewalk singing and embracing each other, and which is beautiful. It's just a beautiful moment. But
it was a beautiful moment.
Let's make it a disgusting moment and go back to the back seat of the cab in India.
Yeah.
And here we have dotted with red splotches from the mosquitoes that you've been crushing.
There's blood all over
there.
The back seat of the car.
It's everywhere.
It's just me and the mosquitoes.
It's like a scene out of Scarface or something now back there.
And I don't know what to do. Do I roll down the windows to let the hot, humid Mumbai air into the car?
But isn't that going to let a lot of them in?
Whatever's out there, sure. And the smog and the dirt.
And are you moving, or is this Mumbai traffic and you're going like 5 feet?
You're never really moving
and stopping
in Mumbai.
Yes, right. So, okay. Fair enough. Is it possible that you would be insulting the cab driver if you started putting down the windows? Is that an issue?
Well,
there,
that was part of my dilemma,
you know?
Or if I kept them up, at least it would be cool. And I was assuming that most of the mosquitoes at this point that were in the car had probably been
killed.
You
were gaining ground, at least.
Yeah, so I sat there in the blood-splattered, air-conditioned taxi.
I have such a wonderful image of this in my brain right
and
now.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is, you know, a cultural experience.
Yes.
And it was okay. I mean, you do with it what you can. That's it.
Okay.
Right?
And okay.
I haven't had too many bouts of malaria since.
Not too many. Good.
Not too many.
Good. Excellent. And is and so the fact that you have now turned the back seat of the cab into at least
a mosquito mausoleum.
Yes, and an array of polka dots, which are kind of disgusting. But it's all like that. Did the cab driver comment on this or react to it at all, or just ignore it?
No, ignored it.
It just, you know, you got to do something,
right? It was nothing unusual outside of his cultural daily experience.
Okay. Okay.
And I think that's one of the messages, right? You know, when you're in someone else's experience, it's not unusual for them, even though it may be highly unusual for you.
Right. Okay. Well, that and I would have to say that is pretty unusual. I mean, having a blood-splattered back seat of a cab because of your actions, too. But you were defending yourself. I'd stand up for you in that case.
Yeah, I mean, you got all
these
fog
blood suckers flying around on you. Yeah. You got to get them before they get you. You know what I'm talking about?
If you can.
Well, and that's also not necessarily a good recipe for things, but certainly not culturally. Oh, my. Okay. Well, I have no idea what I even asked, and we'll just move on.
Yeah.
So I would say this sounds like a good time for a break. We'll be right back. Got any questions for us? Well, if you do, there's a couple of ways to get hold of us. First of all, on email, our email address is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our handle on Twitter is Oops Culture Show. Pretty clever, huh? So talk to us.
So one time I was also being battered by mosquitoes in the Amazon, the Amazonas part of Peru. Do you care?
Not at all.
All right. Then
The Amazonas part of Peru. Right. See, I'm paying attention.
It's called the Amazonas because it's
short
not the
nap.
Amazon
that's all that
River.
Was.
That's in Brazil.
Yeah.
But it's the over tributaries and the arterial bywaters of the Amazon, which
We're
go
getting
into
biology, I think, now. But go
which
ahead.
Which goes into that part of Peru, which is east of the Andes.
Yes.
And we're walking through this mud and tropical swamp, and it was... The fog of mosquitoes was thick.
Okay.
And I was covered in, you know, the kind of outfit that they give you to be able to walk through and be protected from mosquitoes. There was a little area between the net from the hat and the rest of my face hanging down. And these mosquitoes were like lining up to get in there. And I tapped my guide on the shoulder as she's walking us through this muck, you know, and I said, "So a lot of mosquitoes here."
She's like, observant.
We have a conscious U.S. American with us, which is an odd fact.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And I said, are these mosquitoes by any chance malarial? She turns around and she looks at me. She goes, you know, she gives me that dramatic pause.
Yeah.
One, two, three. And he looks at me and goes, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good enough. And were they getting in and getting you because of that opening
right there?
Yeah.
Right across the top
Could
of my head.
Could you fix it
or
did they get you and you get malaria and not survive
well,
the
I
trip?
Well, I mean, you spray with the DEET anyway and you put DEET cream on, you know.
Okay.
But it just didn't stop them.
Right.
I mean, they went, DEET, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. They've got their own spray of DEET. It's like they eat DEET. Let me jump to a question that a listener has sent to us. And it's kind of an interesting one. They're very curious because they're about to take a trip to Malaysia. And they happen to be, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the gist of it is that they happen to be a person who tends to smile a lot. You know, when they walk along the sidewalk, people tend to smile back at them, even when they're not trying to smile, I guess. So they happen to be that kind of person. And while that works very nicely here in the United States, is that something that could cause them trouble or a problem anyway, a difficulty in Malaysia?
Something as simple as a smile.
Right, right. It's something as simple as right. that.
I have gotten into trouble with smiles because, well, it's complicated. I mean, when Americans smile, what does it mean? Why do we smile at things?
Mm-hmm.
And when a Malaysian smiles at something, why do they smile at it? Americans, we U.S. Americans smile because we think it's a way of making everything friendly. You know, I'm smiling
right.
at you. Even if I don't know you, I'm smiling at you because I'm a friendly person. And friendliness for U.S. Americans is an important cultural consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Malaysia, I'm walking down an escalator in a big shopping mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking me to the bottom. And oh, it happens, right? I trip. At the bottom.
Okay.
Fortunately, at the bottom and at the top. Right.
Well, or even halfway, you could have taken out a whole lot of other people.
Yeah. And also myself.
Ben, yeah.
I mean, that's serious.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I wasn't worried about you, but go ahead.
Have you ever fallen on an escalator?
Have I? No. Fortunately, I have not.
You should.
I should.
You should. Not that
well,
I'm,
same to you, fella.
I'm not wishing this on you, of course.
I think you were. I think that's pretty clear.
I'm just saying.
No ifs, ands, or buts here.
I'm just saying it's an experience that you'll probably survive.
good to hear. Good to hear.
Well, it's likely, Tom.
Now, is there a cultural aspect to if I survive or if I don't? I mean,
no, that's going to be purely a result.
Okay, that's human. That's the human being thing.
That's the biology.
To? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Now, why did I talk about
that? I have no idea.
Okay, so I'm falling.
Do I ever? No, really.
I just want to make a point so you don't hold it against me.
I've got plenty to hold against you.
Well, we can't dig up the past. We can only deal with the present.
Can we? All right, go right ahead. That doesn't slow me down at all, but go ahead.
I wished.
You were on an escalator.
I just want to explain myself by that wishing
good.
That you should fall on an
I
escalator.
I see. Okay. You're going to explain that.
I don't mean that I wish for you to be hurt in any way.
Uh-huh.
I just wish for you to have the experience.
Uh-huh.
And have it in Malaysia.
Well, thank you.
Go to Kuala Lumpur. I'll show you the same.
And may you have it in Malaysia also, but I think you actually did. So
I'll show you the same escalator in the same shopping
place.
Mall
I'll be sure to go there.
To me.
And definitely fall at the bottom, not somewhere above that.
It's probably going to hurt less.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But
So what happened to you when you got to the bottom and you fell down?
Okay. So because the steps keep moving.
Yes. It's an escalator.
It
yes.
hurts more than if you just fell down a step.
Okay.
And that's the experience.
You were near the bottom. You were not actually like stepping off of it. You were near the bottom when you fell. So you were still on the moving portion of the escalator.
So that's why.
I'm sure this is important to the story. Go ahead.
No. That has nothing to do with it.
Then are we done? Is that
so? I fall.
Okay.
I fall. And my point is that you will never know what that experience was like until you fall. On an escalator.
There are many things that I will never know. And I'm kind of hoping I never know them. I mean, and that actually kind of falls into that category, mostly. that I hope I never actually do find that out. Is there a cultural aspect to falling at the end of the escalator in wherever the heck you were? And I'm not even sure where that was anymore, but wherever you were, is there a cultural, I mean, did other people come to your aid? Did they laugh at you? Were they smiling at the time? And because that's what they do, and that's the only time they actually smile is when someone falls down at the end of this trick escalator they've got that fools people who aren't used to it, which is what I'm guessing.
You got it.
Okay, good. So, yeah, let's move on.
That's the cultural thing. I fall.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by all of these Malaysian people looking to help me.
Who would have thought? Yes.
And they're
looking
all,
to help. Okay.
They're all not only smiling.
Yes.
But they're laughing.
Ah.
Some of them laughing.
I might have been laughing too, right? To be fair.
And I'm feeling like my first reaction. So my cultural guru head didn't click in because I'm a little bit in shock, right?
Yes.
So my first reaction is who I am as a cultural being, which is a U.S. American. Uh-huh. And I'm going, oh, so I fall and now you laugh at me, right? And then I go, of course, then I start to get conscious of what's going on, culturally conscious. And I go, oh, of course, this is the Malaysian way of trying to put an unbalanced situation back into balance, to try to make light of it, to try to make me feel better about the fact that I just fell down in public.
Right? Okay.
And of course, they're helping me too. So they're helping me get up, which is more than I could expect if I fell down an escalator in any number of shopping malls.
Good point.
In many other places.
And you could also have people who would even be more aggressive and more...
And take advantage of the situation even more.
They could, yes. Or they could come over. Were they trying to pick you up when you fell down this time? Or was it...
They were just
standing around and laughing at you?
No, they were trying to help
They were trying to help.
But making light of the situation, making it less serious.
Easing the situation, hopefully to help you with that.
It was a very sweet gesture, but the initial reaction that I had was, and I fall, and now you laugh at me.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Because I was filtering it through a U.S.-American filter.
Which would be normal, right?
Yeah, of course it was normal for me.
Right.
And so even there, you know, the smiling and laughing has two different meanings.
Yeah.
If, in fact, to a degree that if you are with someone from, let's say, Southeast Asia, Thailand, Malaysia, Vietnam, Indonesia, and there is this constant grin or this constant chuckle or laughing, right?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you're saying something funny. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily appreciative of what you're doing. In fact, they may be confused. They may not really understand what's
going
on.
Could they be uncomfortable?
They could be very uncomfortable.
Okay.
And this is a way to try to make everybody, including themselves, feel a lot more comfortable.
Huh.
Yeah. So the smile is a mask. It's
sure.
not a genuine reflection of how they feel.
And that's really kind
it
of
may
interesting.
Actually
this
be the
is
opposite
generally
of how
the
they
culture
feel.
In there. You could expect this to happen in those types of circumstances. So that's what you're saying. This is not like an individual type of thing. Because in the U.S., let's say, you could find some people who, in a situation where something could happen to you that was difficult, someone else might like laugh a little or giggle or because they're uncomfortable.
Well, these are all human responses that anybody can have.
But you're saying this is a more widespread cultural
reaction. But it becomes a cultural reaction when most people will respond this way
all
the
time. This is the typical
way.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. And I could see where that could cause distinct problems.
Misunderstanding.
Different
you
cultures.
Know, somebody's, let's say, trying to tell a joke in Indonesia and everybody is like smiling and maybe even laughing, but they don't understand it.
Because they don't understand.
And they're feeling more and more uncomfortable about the fact that they don't understand it.
Sure.
So they're smiling even more.
Sure.
And you're not getting the information that you need because you think they're enjoying the joke.
You're brilliant. You're hysterical. Yeah. It's this is the ideal place for a sitcom, right. for stand-up comics, rather, to go and start out.
Well, I think there are several clubs in Jakarta where that's it. Every comic goes there, and it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you say,
the worse
the
you do,
is
the more
hysterical.
they're laughing.
In fact, the worse you do, the more
it's brilliant.
The more they love it.
It's the unique thing that the heckler is actually the person laughing the hardest.
Yes.
At that point.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. So, you know, every stand-up who's trying to make it, they should get on a plane to Jakarta right now.
Have you played Jakarta? I hear that all the time among stand-up comedians. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the crowd loves you no matter what. They love me.
I was there. I killed. I was wonderful. Okay. Well, and then also when somebody asked me where the men's room was, I used my tongue and pointed, and it was... And that was interesting. So that leads me back to you, Torin, which has nothing to do with pointing with the tongue.
It's a whole different situation once you entered the bathroom. But
it's a totally different area that I believe we have scheduled a podcast about that, but not today. Let's take a break. While listening to this, you may think, hey, you know, I wonder, well, if you have a question like that and want to ask us, there's a couple of ways you can do it. One would be through email, which is oopsculturshow@gmail.com. That's oopsculturshow@gmail.com. And then there's also our handle on Twitter, which is oopsculturshow. That's oopsculturshow. I know, it's not original, but it works, okay?
But we talked about how falling down an escalator.
I mean, yes.
I don't wish it.
Which, okay, you did wish on me.
Please just let me get that straight.
Absolutely did.
I am now feeling so bad.
Are you?
I even said that.
Uh-huh. Do you notice I'm smiling? I notice I'm smiling. It's not quite the same as the Malaysian smile. It's more the smile of you'll pay for this later. It's pretty much that. It's, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're reconsidering your feelings for me and falling down an escalator.
But I fell and I got the smile, which had a completely different meaning from what I thought it meant. Right.
And how did that end up? I mean, they helped you?
Oh, yes.
And you were all right.
Very, very, very kind people. Very, very, very caring. Uh-huh. I was fine.
Okay, good.
I tore the shorts I was wearing.
Okay.
I was wearing a pair of shorts that... Mm-hmm. Malaysian shorts, in fact, that I had purchased there. Mm-hmm. So I felt a little like I should go home. And
that's the signal
back to the hotel and change clothes.
Okay. You know? It was not like an embarrassing tear.
Which,
by the way,
I have to say, embarrassing.
Okay.
I have to say, several summers ago, I mean, Tom, you and I have known each other for a long, long time.
Long time, yes.
And several summers ago, I was walking right down the road here, and I was wearing a pair of Malaysian shorts.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a cultural thing, right?
Yes.
A pair of Malaysian shorts that I had purchased in Malaysia.
In Malaysia, right? Uh-huh.
And I remember that...
I know those shorts. I know which ones you're talking about.
Well, because I was sent home.
Yes, because you've worn those shorts for about 50 years now, I think. I may be rounding up a little, but
well,
you know.
No, this is when they were new.
Ah.
And I walked out. It was a hot summer day. I thought Malaysian shorts would just be perfect, mm-hmm. the right kind of thing to wear.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out into the street, and your wife happened to be walking up the street at the same time. And she took one look at me.
Uh-huh.
She turned me around and said, "Go home and change those shorts." And I'm standing there. I'm kind of stunned.
Uh-huh.
I'd gotten off the plane from Malaysia a week before or something, and everybody in Malaysia is wearing these.
Ah.
And now I'm here in Connecticut, and I'm being told, "Go home. You can't wear these outside." So I'm starting to make a stink.
Right? Uh-huh.
Because I like these.
Really?
Shorts.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised at that.
So I said, "Leslie, these are fine shorts." She said, "No, they're not. They look like boxers. Go home. You can't wear these."
Like you're wearing your underwear.
Like you're wearing your underwear.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody listened to the previous podcast about something about underwear, this was an example of wearing your underwear as outerwear.
As outerwear at that time. Sure.
As outerwear.
Sure.
Well, I realized.
You weren't wearing them over other pants, were you?
Over other pants?
No.
Was wearing them over underwear.
Okay.
But it looked like a pair of boxers.
I see. Okay.
I guess.
All right. Because wearing underwear on the outside is another sign. We did discuss that in the previous episode.
Well,
I
think Leslie was concerned that it was underwear that was being worn as outerwear.
That maybe you had mistakenly just walked out of the house.
And it was a But the truth was, it was outerwear that looked like underwear that was over underwear.
Okay.
But that was too much to explain. And besides, I was much more concerned at that point
somewhere
with the idea that this was a cultural phenomenon that was going on, that it was okay in Malaysia, but it wasn't okay in Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's absolutely right. And how easy is it to be, to think that the thing you're wearing in a certain culture, in a certain place, it doesn't even have to be leaving the base culture, but certain places. And I'm bringing that up because of all the people who go and buy things at places like Disney World. Okay, that's a plug for Disney World. We expect tickets. Disney World, which and where they have shops everywhere. And people are going through and buying different kinds of things, some quite extreme looking. And they take them out and wear them around at Disney World and feeling really good about them, even on the plane heading back from Orlando to wherever you're going. There's
a
good chance
you've been
on
a plane
people.
From Vegas or from Orlando.
There you go.
You know what that looks like.
And this is,
if I were
in essence,
a flight
the same
attendant,
culture. Yes.
If I were a flight attendant,
yes,
and I had to step out up front and look down that plane at everybody, if this plane is coming from Orlando or from Vegas, I'm sorry. I wouldn't know how to do the speech. I mean, because I'm looking at people with what? With pirate swords through their skulls. And that's if they haven't had too much
to drink.
They
got wands, too, from Harry Potter
Harry
and
Potter
Universal.
Wands.
Yes, Universal. They were expecting tickets from you also. And yes, that's... yeah, sure.
Princesses.
But then you get back home.
You know, princesses in pink fluffy things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they come out and you wear these things outside now, and I've done this, and again the same person who turned you around usually will go, "You're not really wearing that, are you?" Yes. And I will say, "Sure, why not?" And I'll go out, and then I'll realize why she said that, because I look pretty foolish in the surroundings that I'm normally living in.
Yeah, so you don't want when you're in another culture, you don't want to go native, because that you don't know how to, and besides, it's often taken as that you're making fun of the local people.
Right? I see. That's an important thing to understand.
So you don't want to do that. But at the same time, you have to be mindful of how you're dressing and how that's interpreted. And if you dress like the locals dressed when you come back home, you're going to have the same reaction in reverse.
Yes.
Or you might.
Very possibly could. Sure. Sure. So did it ever occur to you that these people in Malaysia were potentially just laughing at you?
No, but it did occur to me that maybe, in fact, they were just wearing their underwear outside.
Okay. That is possible also. Yeah.
But no, I knew that wasn't true.
No, of course not. While we won't go into the depth of all of this right now, but we will in the future, the clothing that people wear in cultures is going to be dictated by the needs they have, much as the culture itself is. Am I wrong?
Yes. No, there.
I am wrong.
No, you're right. No, you're right. I said yes. No, I should have said no, you're right.
I'm totally confused.
If I were using true...
You think I'm right.
If I was using true Boolean logic, I would have said no, you're right, to your question of am I wrong?
Right. Or wrong.
Which raises another cultural issue.
Does it?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
You see, a lot of cultures have trouble with that because they're thinking, like I said, with Boolean logic, like in Japan.
Yes.
The correct answer would have been, no. Wait, I have to get this straight.
Wait, hold on. You may not be able to smell it, but the wheels and the fires are burning brightly in his brain right now.
It's almost nuclear.
It is.
Hang on. You can smell it, right?
You can.
I know.
You can trust us.
You smell those electrons?
It's not a good thing.
They're going to smash into the protons any second.
Go ahead. So, before you smash your protons.
You said no, and I went, yes.
Yes.
No, I said no, yes. Okay,
I think
so
it was
in
right,
Japan,
but okay, go ahead.
In Japan, it is the precise answer.
Uh-huh.
So, but we expect when we say that to get the answer in the affirmative. So, look, bottom line, how confused are we around this right now, even
a lot,
trying to
a
explain?
Lot. Bottom line, I don't have any idea what the listeners must be doing.
Oh, no, they're following this.
Are they following? They're good, because yeah, they're brilliant. They're very just, smart people.
We have the most brilliant audience.
Absolutely do. Yes, we do.
I want to talk about that, yes. How brilliant
and
they are.
Good taste, too.
And good taste,
very good taste, yes. And they're all gorgeous.
I would date all of them.
Well, I don't think we need to do this. I
well,
don't think.
Except that my wife would probably
but she might
upset.
Have something to say about that. And where would you put them all, really, if you had to date them all at the same time? It's probably time to take one last break. Okay, listen. The way to get hold of us is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is oopscultureshow. Whether this is the first episode or the third episode or whatever episode that you've listened to, if you're still listening at this point, I think you might like this. And if you do, you should really subscribe. Because if you subscribe, these things will just show up for you and you can listen to them whenever you want to. That's the best way to go, really. Honestly, I know what I'm talking about. All right, so just subscribe through iTunes or through wherever you get your podcasts from. But do it today, okay? Subscribe. Thank you.
My point here is that...
Yes. Oh, there's a point. Good. It's so rare.
The
good.
Bottom line yes. here.
Uh-huh.
The bottom line...
Oh, we're
line
on the bottom line now.
Is that...
Okay.
Because of this misunderstanding of yes and no...
Yes.
And,
I mean...
Am I answering... am I answering in the affirmative to a negative, or am I answering in the affirmative to an affirmative... Don't ask questions that require yes or no as an answer. And this is...
Okay.
Right? In a place like Japan, places where this kind of logic is used.
Uh-huh.
By the way, they're filtering this logic through language.
Yes.
So...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you're...
I understand.
There you go. Better. So they're also having to translate whatever response they've already thought of
course.
Into English for an English speaker.
Which may make problems also.
Exactly.
Sure.
So it gets so complicated that the best thing to do is to avoid questions that require yes or no as an answer. And you're going to find this issue much more of an issue
yes.
in East Asia.
Oh, God.
Did I say something wrong?
I'm not talking. No, I'm trying not to talk. Okay. Go ahead.
In East Asia and throughout other parts of Asia and even into parts of Africa. So don't say things that require yes or no as an answer. Will you be coming to the party?
We're
it's
having
the
a
wrong
party.
Question
oh,
to
oh
ask.
That, I'm sorry.
I it's was, the wrong question to ask.
I see. That what? How would you do that?
We're having a party Friday night.
Yes.
We hope you'll be there.
Good. Thank you.
Much better. Because then you could give me reasons why you might not be able to.
I see.
And you're understanding much more clearly what I'm saying. But
That is, I think.
You're not going to the party, are you? Man, that becomes so complicated. You're never going to get a valid answer.
Now, because we're coming at it backwards.
Yeah.
From around. Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's and take out the double negatives. Get
right.
rid of double negatives. Don't
which
ask
you,
questions.
Which you should anyway,
no.
because it's grammatically incorrect.
Well, no, it's not grammatically incorrect to say that. You just have to give the Boolean response, which would be
you
an affirmative to
response.
A negative.
It's grammatically incorrect to use the double negative. You should be just use the positive. You don't. It, that is what the double negative is.
Accent. Accentuate the positive. Is that what you're saying?
Great. They're going to be calling us again. You sing one more line and we're going to owe a fortune here.
Look, from a cultural perspective, what I'm saying, right. Licensing, ding. All I'm saying is, what am I saying?
I have no idea. In fact, I've lost complete interest at this point. Which is good, because guess what?
Our listeners still haven't.
They have not.
Are loyal. They're smart.
Okay, we
they're
did that.
Beautiful.
We're going to let the listeners go do whatever else they like to do when they're not listening to podcasts. So, believe it or not, you've actually been really interesting and very helpful today. in this podcast. And I just want to point that out because normally that's not the case. So
even after I invited you to fall down an escalator.
You did, yes, which I've almost forgiven you for until...
Particularly the shopping mall with an escalator.
Anytime we're on an escalator together. Yes, don't stand in
front
of me. I
am never, never going on an escalator with you from this point forward anywhere.
I think that's a wise move.
I will walk the 12 flights. but that's a big statement for me to make because you know I don't like elevators.
I know you don't like elevators. And also, and this is something we'll talk about in a future podcast as well, people in the United States have a very interesting reaction, and this is a cultural thing, very interesting reaction to elevators.
Oh, the elevator thing is totally cultural.
But do not tell them what it is yet, because that's something, let's see if they know. And in fact, if you do know, okay, if you think you know what the interesting aspect of Americans, U.S. people on elevators is, go to our, you can contact us through email, you can contact us through Twitter and other things that Torin is remembering.
What are the other things? Social media. It's called social media talk.
Bottles with paper in them and a cork.
Stick a cork in it and put it in your bathtub.
But you stick a fork in it, fella.
A cork in it.
I think we're sticking a fork in it now because this sucker's over.
A cork in it. Not a cork in it.
A cork.
You said a cork.
See what can happen. I don't even know what that means. But okay. If you can come up with that one, then we will give you an amazing gift. Okay, we won't. We really won't. But let's see if you can come up with that anyway.
Oops, there you go. Your culture's showing.
And it's still showing, baby. Yeah, and that culture's still showing. So thank you, Torin.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Dean Foster, the brilliant specialist on cultures around the world. We'll be back with you before long, but we're wrapping it up for today. I'm Tom Peterson.
I'm Dean Foster.
In the meantime, remember, oops, your culture's showing. Smell ya. Just want to bother you one last time to say we're a brand new podcast here at Oops, Your Culture's Showing, and we could really use your help by subscribing to the podcast. And not to mention that if you hung around this long and you liked what you heard, well, this makes it just easier for you to get the podcast. They'll pop up for you whenever they're released, so you can listen to them on your phone or your computer or however you listen to them. And it's easy to get, too. Just subscribe using iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. It really isn't hard, and we could really use your support. So from all of us here at Oops, Your Culture's Showing, thanks.